And now, a celebration of the pageantry, the royalty, the Royal Rumble After Party, presented by Great Lakes Beer. Delicious, refreshing beer. Sweet, glorious beer. It's time for Sunday night's main event, Royal Rumble After Party. Please welcome to your screen, Jason Agnew.
Well, 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 thank you very much, Mr. Andrada. I feel as though that intro, that personalized intro for this event may have been a little bit more than this event deserved. At least half of this event deserved, perhaps. I'll throw it there. Hey, welcome to it, everyone. It is the Royal Rumble After Party. For those of you that have been following Sunday night's main event and live audio wrestling, you know that this is my favorite event of the year, bar none. This is my WrestleMania. I adore the Royal Rumble each and every year. And 50% of the Royal Rumbles tonight, I thought, were fantastic. We might have seen one of the worst ever on this particular show, but I don't want to start off too negative because there is a lot of good stuff, and it did get off to a very, very good start tonight. But welcome to it. It is the Royal Rumble After Party. We thank all of you who are joining us live here in the Great Lakes Lounge, which is also known as my basement. We're all apart for COVID, of course, and I have it. For those of you who haven't figured that out and didn't listen to the midweek markout, I have been in isolation for like 9 days now, I believe. Maybe it was seven. I don't know, guys. It all blends together. Anyhow, I got the Omicron. I think it's the Omicron. I lost my sense of taste and smell earlier this week. I have gotten it back, so at least I got to have a couple beers today from Great Lakes, and they tasted okay. Anyhow, I'm doing fine. Maybe I sound a little bit congested. I am A-okay, and we're going to get into this. It is the After Party, so thank you all for joining us live. For those of you that are listening to the podcast, you should have joined us live. It's a Saturday night because that's what WWE does now, and we come on immediately after the event, hence the After Party, I guess immediately after the premium live event. That is what we do here on Sunday night's main event, which is now Sunday night's main event on a Saturday night. Because we can't call it Saturday night's main event. I really made a mistake when I named this thing 4 years ago. Anyhow, guys, we're going to get into it. Tonight, not joined by Dan Lavransky. It is a new era, and these guys host a show about a new era, NXT 2.0, but I can safely say they are far beyond NXT 2.0 because they also do BAM. BAM stands for Boris and Matt, and they are joining me on the show tonight to analyze the 2022 Royal Rumble. Mark Andrada, let's bring them both up on the screen. There is Boris. Hello, my friend. And we also have Matt popping up there in the headband going on.
Yes, it was a retro feel tonight, I think, in the Women's Royal Rumble anyway. So I was feeling retro, Jason.
Yeah, well, you know, Royal Rumble should be a retro feel. There should be old surprises thrown in. And as I was saying, you know, we did get half of that tonight, Matt. And I mean, I thought that the women's delivered on... I just enjoyed the whole Rumble, from the surprises to the way it was booked. Everything seemed to be pretty great. And then we had the Men's Royal Rumble, which just kept going and going and going. And the biggest surprise we got was just for... You know, I kind of wish that Lavransky was going to join us tonight when Shane McMahon came out at the end of that Rumble. But not the surprise I wanted. I think aside from Matthew Smith, our loyal viewer and listener here, he was very excited about, but that's about it. But here is what we do. Of course, we run through the Royal Rumble event, and then we'll get your feedback. All you've got to do, if you want to participate, and you are a patron, only patrons can participate. You you put up your hand and you can use your camera if you like. You can use your audio, whatever you like. It's essentially our way of taking phone calls. All you do is put up your hand in the Zoom room. If you're watching right now on YouTube, you can become a patron and you can do that as well. Next event. But that is what we do. So guys, first of all, Royal Rumble, to me, Boris, this is my highlight of the year. Does this rank like above WrestleMania for you as well? Oh, we can't hear you, Boris.
Yeah, typically it does. Usually Royal Rumble is the show that I look forward to the most every year. We have the surprises and the Rumble is typically fun until this year's. But like you said, half of the show, and I'm telling you, I know we're going to get to it. And I sent you the message. I promised myself one beer during the show, one Great Lakes beer during the show. However, they tried so hard to get me to drink more that second half of the show.
Yeah, it really flattened out because it was hot off the top. But before we get into actually breaking down the event, Matt, I mean, to me, it's the highlight of the year. It's always something. The unique thing about the Rumble to me is that generally, aside from that Saudi thing, it does only happen once in a year. And that's why this gimmick remains special. And there are always stakes attached to it.
Yeah, absolutely. There are very few things that are sacred in WWE, but this thing is, for what it's worth, it's kind of sacred. It is what it is, the Kingmaker. It is a really huge deal in the WWE lore. And the men's Rumble was a little rough. I'm sure we'll get into it, but even a bad Rumble is a good time. So I enjoyed this show for what it was. I think I was pretty much way more positive on it than you two guys, but it wasn't great though. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was great. I thought the opening match was great, but it wasn't a great show. It was a fun show, not a great show.
All right. Well, we've already alluded to some of the stuff that has gone on early in this show. And I think we found all of this kind of found like a bit of a downhill ski slope is what this show was here. The pre-show, though, was terrible. If you didn't watch, you made the right decision, everyone out there. The only thing that we got is much like Superman and Clark Kent and the glasses. If Sonya Deville has her jacket on, she is an official. If Sonya Deville has her jacket off, she is a wrestler. They made sure to emphasize that over and over and over again on the panel, and then that would come into play later. They had a stupid Damian Priest promo pushing the whole Damian side versus the Priest side, the whole Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing, and then they had what actually was a very good Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar pre-produced package. But if you didn't see it on the pre-show, you saw it later anyway. So there you go. The Rumble began, and we started with the Universal Championship, and it was Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. And I got to say, guys, I haven't been into this feud. I haven't been into the Rollins character. I haven't been interested in any of it. And wow, right from the very beginning, Seth Rollins won me over in this match. Just with the entrance and the storytelling, Boris, I thought that this was so smart to bring the aspects of the Shield back into this.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Like, it just continuously playing into Roman Reigns' head. I love that. And just the amount of callbacks that Seth Rollins had throughout the entire match was just great. I absolutely loved it. Whoever laid out this match up until the very end was brilliant, but it just went downhill really fast. And we'll see. I don't know. But overall, like, I just loved, like you said, I've been iffy, hot and cold on this entire feud. But honestly, that first, 4 minutes just took me on a 9. Like, I was loving it.
Now, Matt, as you were watching this, of course, because what happened here, I mean, I'm assuming everybody has seen it, but if you haven't, Seth came out, you know, Roman came out first, which is kind of weird because you're like, oh, the champion's coming out first. What's going on here? But they made it worthwhile because it played into the story of then you hear the Shield music hit and Seth Rollins is coming out through the crowd dressed in the old Shield fatigue. And they really played out a lot of that, so much so that they actually played out that Roman was caught off guard by this and Rollins got the majority of the first part of the match. It then spun around and Reigns got kind of the second half of the match, including Rollins kicked out of the Superman punch. You had Reigns kick out of the curb stomp. So really they were playing into this. I thought the transition here with Rollins countering the spear with a pedigree, I thought that was very solid. These two worked tremendously together. We then had Reigns hitting a spear, Rollins putting his hand up. wanting the fist bump after that happened, which again, you're bringing back all of these little breadcrumbs from the Shield. And at that point, at what point, Matt, in this match did you say, boy, this Ambrose or Moxley would really help this?
It was right around the fist bump right there. Yeah. That was when Moxley should have run in and everyone would have been happy. But yeah, at the point of the fist bump, I think we got to the never ending guillotine, which was the big flaw of this fabulous wrestling match, because this was a really good match until the finish.
Okay, so, you know, I had that written here as well. You know, so the way that this thing ended is Reigns puts Rollins in a guillotine. Charles Robinson goes to check on his hand, and Seth grabs the rope. Reigns then just does not release the guillotine, and he is DQ'd. Initially, I didn't like it. But then, if you think about it, though, why would Reigns... Since he's had so much trouble with Rollins in this match, what is his motivation to release that guillotine, Matt? Because he knows if he gets DQ'd, he still keeps the title.
That's, you know what? That's a fair point. And in kayfabe, that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, if wrestling is fake at the end of the day, they can plan these things. They can set them up so that they don't have to produce an unsatisfying product. More than that, I feel like the execution of the guillotine was just kind of like weird. Like in real life, if a man is choking another man out, there would have been 6 or 7 referees diving in. They could have sold it as though it was more serious than it was. And I feel like that was the problem with it. Like it was like a death blow, you know what I mean? And it was just kind of shrugged off. It was just kind of cartoonish, for lack of a better term. So that's what bugged me about it more than the actual idea of the finish. I kind of liked the idea of the finish. It protected both people in a way.
I think that the urgency could have been upped here at the end of the match, but I'm not going to call this all that bad a finish, simply because it's the chicken shit heel. It's not even a chicken shit heel. It's a heel that finds an advantage and finds a way to keep the title by any means necessary, Boris.
Agreed. And I like the fact that Roman snapped. Like, I think I didn't like the finish, but the post-match ass-kicking that he gave Rollins, I think, made up for it. And it kind of at least kept everyone strong. Reigns is, you know, for sure the heel moving forward. And I just love the fact that he snapped. Like, as he's walking to the back, he's talking to himself. So I kind of think that the post-match stuff made up for the actual end of the match.
I also thought that what this did a good job of is designated who is the heel and who is the babyface in this feud. And really, WWE has a real problem booking babyfaces. And if they look at what they've done here, the crowd was chanting Roman sucks. This actually has the power to turn Seth into a babyface that people want to see. And they should run with that because they have a tough time building baby faces. And then after that, we got Reigns beating the crap out of Seth with a chair, which went on for a very long time. But nonetheless, this is a great start to the show. From there, we go to the Women's Royal Rumble. And this is one that we had heard the rumors going into this that Ronda Rousey could appear. And if that was more than a rumor, if you thought it was more than rumor, like I did, I kind of knew what was going to happen here. And one of the greatest things about wrestling is to show that bookers have accomplished their job is even if you walk into a match and you know the finish and that finish comes true, if you've enjoyed the match and you've enjoyed the steps that they took you on to get you there, then the show and the match have accomplished what they were supposed to do. And I thought this match in particular did that, Matt.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And yeah, if you're super inside, I think you kind of knew that Ronda Rousey was coming, but that's the beauty of the Royal Rumble is this is the one that draws in the casual fan. And I'm sure a lot of people watching the show had no idea that Ronda Rousey was coming out. And I'm sure they were quite, surprised. So we, the hardcores, knew it was coming, but I still thought it was a really good match. It was either this or the opening match that was the best match on the show. And then we hit the cliff, but this was still very good. I quite enjoyed the Women's Royal Rumble this year.
Now, I again, we all kind of knew, people, you know, listening to this probably knew that Ronda was coming out. But the big questions that have come out of this are, I got Tony, who's on the board here, asking, where's Alexa, Asuka, and Bayley? And I saw a lot of people saying that, Boris. But to me, if you weren't going to have any of them win, like if you don't have Bayley win this, then why are you bringing Bayley back here?
That's exactly it, right? Like, why bury a return? Why waste a return on just coming out for a couple minutes and being eliminated? It's the same reason why I was super happy that none of the NXT women were out here. Because why bury them?
Yeah.
As a fact that they're not going to win.
Yeah, I thought there were a lot of wise choices made here. Let's run you through a little bit of the fun that this Rumble was. I was completely satisfied with everything that they did here. It's Women's Royal Rumble. I thought Sasha Banks coming out dressed as Sailor Moon, getting the big first entrance, was excellent. Melina Perez coming out, she got the big pop for doing her splits. And I laughed out loud. I heartily laughed out loud that Melina was tossed out by Sasha before anyone else even popped in. But I actually thought that was a bit of a story here in the way that they used a lot of the cameos, which is essentially what they were. A lot of the special guests, if they didn't mean anything to storyline and they couldn't make anything out of them and they were randomly thrown in, they were randomly thrown right back out, which I actually thought was a strong point. Tamina, Kelly, Aaliyah, Liv Morgan, Queen Zelina, Bianca Belair, Dana Brooke with Reggie. One of the things I found here is when Dana Brooke did the handspring earlier in the match, we saw Kelly do that. And for the first time ever, I have to compliment Dana Brooke on how great that handspring looked, because we just saw Kelly do it horrendously. I honestly don't understand, though. You know, they brought back Kelly, they brought back Summer Rae. To me, this is diminishing returns and pretty much no return at all, Matt, for players like that coming back.
Yeah, especially with Kelly Surrey, as it were. We've seen her come back a couple times. She threw the worst head scissors I've ever seen in my life.
Boy.
God bless her in this match. It was rough. But, you know, I don't know. Summer Rae did okay. There was a couple of people who came back and did okay. But I do agree, the law of diminishing returns is clearly in effect here.
We had Cameron show up, and then Sonya Deville had to be alerted that Cameron and Naomi were at one point a tag team together. That I found rather funny. Like, she knows nothing about the product that she walked into. And the only thing I could think when Cameron came back is how much Mark Andrada got to enjoy the Somebody Call My Mama music that we haven't seen in forever. Sonya eliminated Cameron. Naomi came out. The first of two, there's Mark. The first of two things that the fans got robbed of tonight happened here, though, is we did not see the magical Royal Rumble spot from Naomi, nor later from Kofi. Boris, that kind of surprised me, because there's always something fun that they do with one of these two just to show off their athleticism. And that is one of the things that this event did lack tonight.
Exactly. So in the past, we've criticized these Rumbles of having two of these spots, one on the men, one on the women's. The one year that they choose the one for it to go to the men, they kind of botched it. So I think, we kind of got it got left out. But I'm glad that they chose one at the end of the day. It's just unfortunate what ended up happening.
Yeah, I guess so. So you're guessing Kofi's was a botch? I guess it was, right? He was supposed to hang on, his feet hit, and then, all right. So we'll never know as to what was actually supposed to happen there. That's unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, you're right. If they had made that choice and then they got out of this Naomi one, because we don't need two, but we got to see. We didn't even get to see one at all tonight. Along with that, we had, let's see, what else happened that was kind of special in here? The Ivory return, I thought was funny, coming out and doing the Right to Censor gimmick. And I really thought that this was a great spot for Rhea picking up Ivory. Like, a cameo like that, we've seen Ivory before. Normally, she's just a drunk old lady. Today, she was more so in the Right to Censor character. And her being picked up by Rhea and thrown out as she's still yelling, Matt, I thought that this was a nice cameo for people that remember that gimmick.
Definitely. And it's fun that they're mixing up these cameos. Like, we saw proper Molly Holly, and we've seen Mighty Molly, and now we've seen Ivory's RTC character as well. Like, if they're going to bring Ivory back, they might as well do all the shades of the Ivory rainbow, you know? So yeah, I laughed at this. This was good.
We had both of the Bellas in. Brie was in first. The crowd did the yes chant. And then one of the things I enjoyed was Mickie James came to the ring and clearly told them that if she was coming back, she was using the hardcore country theme, which I thought was great. I didn't hear a mention of the Impact Championship. I didn't hear that said. Did you guys?
No, but they did put it up on the graphic.
They did put it up on the graphic. Yeah. Okay. They also brought together, brought a close, and vengeance was Mickey's tonight. After the Piggy James angle from many years ago, Mickey got to throw out Michelle McCool. I thought that was, for people who knew what that was, for longtime fans like us, I think that's what the Rumble can bring about when they do storylines like this. Alicia Fox still walking around like, well, I guess instead of Ivory, she was the drunk lady tonight. Nikki Ash comes out. She enters from the wrong side of the ring. Rhea calls her a little twat. That was not censored. Summer Rae comes out, thrown out by Natty. Bella's in there, the other Bella. Sarah Logan looking full Viking and then got eliminated right away, which kind of surprised me. The Bellas threw out Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan. Have we heard if, to me, this looked like the Bellas got a lot of heel heat here and the Bellas looked like they could be returning. Boris, have you heard anything about that?
I haven't heard anything, but it seemed okay. So of all the returns, and it makes sense that they would, the Bellas would get like the longest in-ring role because they're the Bellas, right? They created the Women's Revolution along with Stephanie, right? So to me, that makes sense, but they lasted a really long time. So it seems like there's more planned with them in the long term, and especially with the whole Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan stuff, there's a possibility I can see a program stemming from that.
Lita came in. I thought that the pop for Lita was great. People did still seem excited to see her. I was surprised that they then had Mickey James be eliminated by Lita. It didn't make sense to me because those are two fan favorites. Those are two nostalgia acts and fan favorites. So why have one eliminate the other? It didn't make sense. Lita and Charlotte facing off, trading chops. Fans really, really liked that. They put a great emphasis on that. And I have to say, at number 27, you mentioned it already, Boris, Mighty Molly coming out. The best thing the character of Nikki Ash has ever done, Matt, was attacking Mighty Molly the way that she did. I thought this was perfect.
Absolutely. No, and that's like when they actually get the Royal Rumble right, when they play these characters off each other in a fun and clever way, it can be really rewarding. That was really great. Yeah, poor Mighty Molly, though, getting the old Spike Dudley draw in the Royal Rumble, the old Scotty Too Hottie.
But again, that's what you want to do with characters like that. If you can have them serve a purpose, with this definitely did, then you might as well go ahead and do it. Ronda Rousey was the big surprise at number 28. She does a double Nikki guillotine on the top rope because she had Nikki Ash in one arm and Nikki Bella in the other arm. And she tossed out Ash and then Brie tossed out Nikki. And then for some reason, Ronda Rousey really, really struggled to eliminate Brie Bella, which I didn't understand. She should have come in. I actually expected her to have more of an impact when she ran out, just destroying a whole bunch of people. Shotzi came out. Shayna Baszler came out at the end as number 30. And then immediately seems to team with Ronda to take people out. They almost face off against one another, which, as you saw, they also got a good reaction from the crowd as well. That was the one thing about this Rumble to me. They paced it out very well. They had a bunch of different people in there that were facing off against one another, and they let the crowd absorb it and put the focus on a couple people at once. It was paced out well. Whoever booked this thing deserves a lot of credit tonight in the way that they put this Rumble together. And then we had, so Shotzi's eliminated by Ronda, Natty's by Ronda and Belair. Natty comes in again for some reason, which was really weird. And Ronda tosses her out again. Lita hits a Twist of Fate on Charlotte. Lita hits a Hurricanrana on Rhea. Lita is a moron and then goes for a moonsault and Charlotte takes her out. That was really ridiculous. Lita's taken out by Charlotte. Now I thought at this point, okay, Lita's taken out by Charlotte. That to me looks like a Mania build, but we'll see because Ronda gets Rhea in a triangle in the top rope. Charlotte tries to eliminate them both. And then Rhea is eliminated by Charlotte. So your final four at this point are Charlotte, Bianca, Shayna, and Ronda. Bianca goes for the KOD on Shayna. Charlotte eliminates them both. And your final two are Ronda and Charlotte. And I got to say, both in this match, and we'll talk about the Rumble later on, when it came down to two, it ended so fast. I mean, Boris, I expected these two to at least have a go around, but by not having them face off much here, now, despite my earlier thought of, oh, Lita Charlotte, now I'm thinking Ronda Charlotte.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Like, it's kind of weird because that, to me, once you get to the final two, do you remember the good old days of, like, those when those final two people were in there and the crowd was just roaring? I just felt so underwhelmed on both Rumbles and on that end. And it just went by so fast. And it's just not this year. It's been the past few years that it's been like that. But I find that this year especially, both the men's and the women's, once we got to the last two, it was like, all right, we need to finish. Let's go home. Let's finish this match. And that's it. But I still do think that long-term, Charlotte will have a program with Lita. It just, they keep talking about the generational turnover. And I think that's going to make it officially official for the 20th time.
I think that that one makes sense. However, you know, I got to say, though, Matt, after this, after seeing Ronda and Charlotte, the crowd did seem pretty hot for these two. And clearly with Charlotte just taking a run at Ronda, there's unfinished business here as well. And this, to me, you know, if Flair and Rousey is more marketable to the mainstream than Becky and Rousey for night one of WrestleMania.
I can see that argument. That makes a lot of sense for sure. To the mainstream, it's more marketable. I'm not sure if it's a better wrestling match. I'm not sure if it's better to the hardcore fans.
Nope.
For sure, it's more marketable, though. That makes sense. I thought Ronda looked pretty good here. I definitely think we're getting Ronda versus Charlotte at WrestleMania, and I think we're going to get Charlotte versus Lita at Elimination Chamber. Maybe if they don't trust Ronda to do, Tony from VA just said this in the chat, maybe three-way again, question mark. If they don't trust Ronda to do singles, maybe it's a three-way with Lita.
Is it just me? Or with Lita?
Yeah.
Because the three-way, I don't think that, no, he's saying three-way again. Tony's saying three-way again, meaning Becky, Ronda, and Charlotte. To me, that is worst case scenario. That's a bad decision. Boris, I see you nodding, but I'm not putting it by them. I could definitely see them doing that because they love rematch.
That's the thing. You said it right there, right? I wouldn't put it by them. If it makes the worst decision is most likely what WWE is going to do. And in this case, like, they're already starting to tell the story of Charlotte and Becky and Ronda. They've made mentions of it, the WrestleMania main event. So I can see them kind of tilting that way. The only saving grace is the fact that they both have the belts, but that didn't stop them last time. But I just really do think that if we take a look at this from a marketing point of view, from this quote-unquote stupendous show that we're going to have in April, Charlotte and Ronda Rousey is the more marketable match.
Flair and Rousey, that's the one that hits the headlines for the mainstream. And you know they love Mania creeping out into the mainstream. And clearly you're going to have Lesnar on night number two. So this could be night number one with the two nights of WrestleMania. This is where the WrestleMania sign went on fire. Did you guys see this? Okay, so for those of you that don't know, because some of you may not have seen this, Sean Ross Sapp reported that the fireworks went off on the WrestleMania sign and they actually had to put out a fire up on the WrestleMania sign, I think with fire extinguishers or something like that. So it did actually start to melt, which is kind of funny. As long as no one's hurt, it's funny. All right.
Yes. Here's where WrestleMania has been in years. Sorry to step on you, Jason. I had to get that joke in.
Yeah. Here's where I thought they made a terrible mistake, and that is after you see Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair facing off against one another in a really hot Women's Royal Rumble match, they followed this with the Raw Women's Championship, Becky and Doudrop. There was no possible way, Boris, that this was going to win over the crowd.
Not at all. The crowd needed a cigarette after that Women's Royal Rumble, right? Like, they loved it. And then you put that match, and it's unfortunate that it was a championship match. Like, this was the perfect spot for that mixed tag match, right?
Yes!
Like, it's the ultimate break match. I honestly thought we were going to get the mixed tag at this point, but no, they put the women's match, and it just suffered from literal fires, the crowd not paying attention, the crowd being tired, and it was just the most unfortunate because the match itself wasn't the worst, but just so many things went against it that, you know, I'm going to have to say it. It is what it is.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the match itself, what's there to say? It was Becky, who was your champion, versus Doudrop. And it was positioned in a bad spot. Becky got, I mean, the Molly Go Round type of deal that she did was fun. And she won with the man slam off the second rope. And she got a clean win, Matt. Not much to say about this. This is... it was Doudrop was just there to be there because there wasn't anyone else available, it felt.
You know, that's it's the old hardcore Holly versus Brock Lesnar spot, right? Like, it's that kind of challenger who doesn't have a chance to win the title. But I actually thought this was a good match. I felt bad for them because you're completely right about the spot and how the crowd was dead and the literal fires happening in the background. Obviously, there were distractions, but I thought they worked hard. I thought this was a really good match, but the crowd did not care. That's a fact. So it is what it is indeed, Boris. That's good on Doudrop, though. She works hard. She's a very good wrestler. It sucks that her name is Doudrop, but, you know, she does really good with what she's given.
Also, what was really weird to me is when they did have the announcer in the ring beforehand, and they don't do weights. They don't do where they're from. They're just like, and your challenger, Doudrop.
Yeah, it's so awkward.
That's it. Like, at least give me something.
Least a town. Let me know where they're from. Anything. I understand the way you may not want to do that, but it's just like, you know, here, boom, wrestle. It really does take away from that big match feel, in my opinion, just kind of rushing and half-assing that the entrances.
The announced attendance for this show tonight, 44,390 people that now have Omicron. Congratulations. It's not all that bad if you're triple vaxxed. The WWE Championship match is next. Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. We see the great history package again here. Less great if you saw it 3 hours earlier. The crowd is really into this match. I mean, from the sing-along from Paul Heyman, right into this whole thing, you can tell that Paul Heyman had a huge, huge say in the way this thing was put together. And I think it was exactly what everybody wanted, Matt. I mean, this was a series of power moves. Yeah. It almost felt like a chess match of power moves. And I was in 2 feet all the way.
Yeah, this was Shao Kahn versus another slightly bigger Shao Kahn. I loved it. I liked this match. And this has kind of become like a formula in WWE. But you know what? It works. It still works for me. Brock Lesnar can still throw around a bigger guy. And if that guy is big enough, he can throw Brock around a little bit. And I love Paul Heyman. I thought the ending was pretty fun. This was a good match, in my opinion. This held my attention.
I mean, you mentioned the throwing around there. To start this thing off, Lashley catches Lesnar with a German, and Lesnar catches Lashley with two Germans that seem to drop him right on the back of his neck. Like, that's the thing. Every single move that these guys did to one another felt like it meant something. And we had Lesnar taking Lashley to Suplex City, five Germans, and then on the sixth German, Lashley slips off, puts the hurt lock on Lesnar, and this led to the finish, which unfortunately, I guess, was the ref bump. We had the ref getting caught in between them, then Lesnar delivering the F5, the official getting taken out. Lesnar gets the visionary pin here. Then Reigns shows up, spears Lesnar, and the big moment was Heyman handing Reigns the title and Reigns hitting Lesnar with the title. Lashley pins Lesnar. That's kind of on a side because the big thing that everybody's talking about is the fact that Heyman is now realigned with Reigns. It was all an elaborate ruse. Boris, are you on board with the ruse?
You know what? I didn't see it coming. I'll be 100% honest. I didn't see it coming, and I think it leads to a fun story. I think it kind of at least extends whatever feud they're doing right now a little further. So why not? Why not do this? Hey, if anything, Lesnar has shown that he can actually talk for himself a little bit right now. He seems to be having tons of fun with this new cowboy gimmick, the Saskatchewan boy gimmick. So, you know what? Give him the mic, let him have fun, and let Reigns be quiet, let Heyman do all the talking, and let Reigns be the number one heel in the company.
Yeah, that was definitely reinforced tonight with stuff that he did to Seth after Seth turned babyface as well. But Matt, did you see the turn coming here? The Heyman ruse?
No, I actually didn't, but I do agree. I think it's the right thing to do. I think Brock and Paul have probably run their course. Brock's doing well as a babyface. There's no real reason to align Paul Heyman with him. Paul Heyman's so good. He needs to do something high up on the card. This is a perfect decision. I thought it was a really good choice. Good little swerve. And again, just big, meaty men slapping meat. This was everything I want out of pro wrestling with a little bit of storytelling at the end.
Now we're going to have, I mean, the thing that this will lead to on Raw that will work is that MVP and Lashley are going to be able to brag that they beat Lesnar, and we can revisit this match later on, which is all fine and good because both of those guys have been protected very, very well. And yeah, so I thought it was pretty solid. And I didn't see the turn coming as well. So, you know, this has been the best storyline in WWE since it began. And I think it'll continue on that way. One thing that this did do, though, is it made the Royal Rumble extremely predictable. And despite, this is the exact opposite of the first one. And I think that's how the Rumbles played out tonight. They're exact opposites of one another. Because if you were in the know and you knew that Rousey had the first one, you're still entertained the entire Rumble. And with Lesnar losing here, you kind of knew Lesnar's going to win the second one to set up that WrestleMania. But unfortunately, I was not entertained the whole way through, but we'll get to that as it comes up. I was not entertained by the next match either. I had no time for the mixed tag match. This did not need to be on this card because WWE is now utilizing the 8 p.m. to midnight rule, apparently, on Saturday nights. And I didn't need this. I didn't pay attention to this. I wanted it to be over before it began, Boris.
Agreed. And I'm still bitter because you know that this match was originally meant for Frankie Monet and Johnny Future Endeavored. You know that this was their spot. So it really just gets to me just seeing Edge and Beth. It's I don't care for it. Didn't care for it. Whatever. It was there.
Is the It Couple versus the Grit Couple and that cringeworthy title on down. There was no redeeming quality of this for me. It's just not something that I needed to see. If anything, like a novelty match like this, they should have waited on. And I think this would have been fine at WrestleMania, somewhere low on the card, because Edge would get a big pop at WrestleMania, Matt.
Yeah, that's fair. And there are two nights on WrestleMania too. So this easily could have been on night one and then Edge has a real quote unquote match on night two. Wow. But I think I liked it more than you guys did. I thought it was just, it was a bit of pro wrestling fun. It was only, 13 minutes or something. It felt a little longer than that, admittedly, but I didn't hate it. I thought it was good. That's the story of this show. Good, not great. You know, that was this Royal Rumble to me. And that was this match to me. I thought it was cute. It was definitely a low second or third on the card WrestleMania match here on the Royal Rumble.
Matthew Ederer's review of the Royal Rumble. It was cute. Cheers to you, friend.
I stand by it.
Cheers to you.
I don't think a wrestling card has ever been described as cute.
Probably not the reaction you're going for necessarily, but that's what came to mind and I stick by it.
All right. For those, I guess if you were watching on Peacock, you got commercials here because we got a Sasha Banks vignette. I will say though, Boris, one thing for the first time ever, and I don't remember seeing it before. This is the first time I've ever seen the Mandalorian sort of kind of mentioned on WWE TV.
And it just so happens to be the same week that WWE cuts a deal with Disney. Coincidence? I think not.
Ah, that's right. They have the distribution deal in
Indonesia.
Is it Indonesia they have? So it's a foreign distribution deal, and WWE premium live events will be distributed on Disney Plus in that country. All right. We get the vignette about the army soldier that recovered from a terrible combat injury that is there. And then we get into the men's Royal Rumble. I mean, is it wrong for me to say this was one of the most boring Royal Rumbles of all time, Matt? I mean, you're the positive guy on tonight's show. To me, this was garbage. This sucked.
I wouldn't call it garbage, but it's good in the way that pizza's good, right? It was bad pizza, but it was still pizza. But yeah, no, it was a below average Royal Rumble for sure. And it was not one of the worst. I would say it's fair to say this is one of the worst Royal Rumbles ever, just because they're usually pretty good. And this was not
Boris,
pretty good.
You rolled your eyes.
This is the equivalent of a 3-for-1 pizza on a college campus after a night out, where you're eating it because you have to, but you really don't want to, and you're going to regret it in the morning.
There's no reason for this to be this bad. Even if you look at the way that the women's match was put together, and people complained about the useless cameos, but they were at least still there wasn't even novelty in this tonight. Roll through these. Who's your novelty? Shane McMahon?
Yes.
Is he the only, who is the, because we got into this and it was Bad Bunny. Sorry. Bad Bunny was the surprise tonight. Again, this was the times I wish Lavransky was here. The two people that he dislikes the most are in this Royal Rumble.
Oh, that's good.
The fact that Bad Bunny had a better showing than some people on like some mainstays is the thing that gets to me. But whatever, if it gets them a headline, that's what they're going for. That's what this company's about. They're about headlines. They're about social media, whatever, you know. So whatever. It unfortunately, this match is dragged. I was bored. And I know Matthew Smith is going to love this, but I have to say the match was, to me, was absolutely atrocious until Shane McMahon came out. Because after that, you kind of, they started having some mini stories. They started having, like, you know, RK-Bro doing stuff. They started having, you know, it just became a little more entertaining in the grand scheme of stuff. But before that, it was just really, really boring.
Yeah, there, I mean, I will say at least we didn't get a dick punch to start things off tonight, because when AJ and Nakamura came into the ring together, I'm like, oh, they're going to go back and revisit that storyline. There was really nothing to this. So, I mean, I'm looking for highlights, and I actually, by when number seven hit, Damian Priest, I wrote, this Rumble is so stale. The women's had surprises right away and a sense of energy. There was a real sense of energy, even as something as silly as Melina. And we had the Sailor Moon thing off the top, right? Those were two, for two different reasons, two unique things that we saw tonight on the show and gave a sense of energy. All of these guys that were in here, there was nothing that was novel until Johnny Knoxville. How terrible is that to say, Matt? Johnny Knoxville at number nine was actually something that was memorable and a highlight.
No. Yeah, and well, he did do a good job, but that is sad. That sure. is objectively sad and terrible. Yeah, no, it was an uninspired Rumble, you know, and a couple people in the chat have made some good suggestions about like places on the card and matches that should have been wherever. This, they should have just flipped this with the Women's Rumble. Women's Rumble should have main evented. Ronda Rousey gets the big win. This goes in the middle of the card because it was a mid-card Rumble. That's what it was here at the end of the show. It was just a very obvious kind of bland Royal Rumble. And yeah, I do try to be positive, but yeah, I didn't, it was not a sour note, but just kind of a bowl of vanilla pudding at the end of the night here.
Of course, the problem with that though is they needed that Lesnar win, and that means you'd have to put Lesnar and Reigns first, Boris.
Exactly. You know, I think this Rumble highlights the overall issue with WWE. They have no men stars, you know, outside yeah. of Lesnar, outside of Reigns, outside of, that's pretty much it. They have no stars. And this match, the men's Royal Rumble match, highlighted that for me. Because I think a lot of people are saying, wow, it's tag teams, 24/7 guys. Nothing was interesting. Nothing was fun. You know, what I always loved about the Rumble were the little side stories that they always told. You know, the breakout stories, the breakout feuds, that kind of stuff. This Rumble didn't have any of that. It honestly felt like a long 24/7 belt vignette.
Hey, listen, give me Ciampa, give me Dunn, give me, was it Gunther? Give yeah. me something like that, like, and have them have a good showing. Instead, the focus here, they tried to make almost, I don't even know how to pronounce his name because everyone pronounces it differently. They gave this guy the Andre treatment. And like, how long does this last? Because he's not Andre. All he knows how to do is push people and go, ah, all the time. He has zero charisma in that giant body, Matt.
That's a really good question. I have no idea what the end game here is. I guess it lasts until Vince McMahon finds a new giant to fall in love with. I guess that's when this ends. I don't know, based on his track record. It kind of just seems like Omos is going to be there until another Omos comes around, and then he'll like that Omos instead, much like he did with Braun. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's weird. They focused on Omos, they focused on Bad Bunny, and they focused on Rick Boogs in this match. Those
they
were
did.
Like the three stars of this match. That's very strange. That's not what I was expecting anyway.
Listen, if you want to give Omos a spot and you want to make him look good and you also want to give us a cameo, you bring back Braun Strowman and you have Omos toss him over the top rope. To me, that would at least have been something to make fans like us go, oh, I wonder what's happening with Braun. Like, that would at least get, because there was really nothing in this one. We didn't even get, Boris, we did not even get, after 3 weeks of teasing, the Mysterios in the ring at the same time together.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, this match just seems so awkward in terms of the booking. And I kind of feel like because I feel like they knew a lot of people had this weird gut feeling that Brock Lesnar was going to come in and win, they just took the incredible safe route and just went with like whatever they can do to get to that point when Lesnar comes out at number 30.
Also, if you look at the placement of, okay, they clearly knew that Randy Orton was going to get a big pop. They're in St. Louis, so of course you're going to highlight Randy Orton here. But they wait till 29 to bring this guy out, and then they have Orton eliminated by Lesnar. Orton is your hometown babyface. Lesnar is the one you're supposed to have people excited about winning this so he can go on to challenge Reigns. That's ass backwards to do that.
But that's classic WWE right there. Number one, hometown, you're going to get buried. Number two, the guy that you want people cheering, you're going to do something dumb to make people boo him. And that's exactly what they did there.
They did their best at the end, Matt, to tell the story with Lesnar and McIntyre in the ring. But once again, I didn't even find that they gave them enough time to tell that story. They didn't have them fight it out. They just had this thing immediately done when those two guys were in the ring.
Yeah, and that one disappointed me. I actually liked it in the Ronda Charlotte thing because, like you said, it kind of teased you. It kind of made you want the WrestleMania match. But this one, I wanted them to go have that triple or that, yeah, that Triple H versus, was it Dean Ambrose at the end of a Royal Rumble once? Or Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, I think, Royal Rumble, maybe 07. They had an amazing last final stretch. There's all these great final stretches in Royal Rumble history. These ones went like 30 seconds. This one especially was very unsatisfying. After that Rumble, it was like, oh, okay, these guys have a chance to save it. And then, oh, oops, no, it's over.
Tommy Lang just said tonight's show is great for AEW business in our chat here. All right. And with that in mind, speaking of feedback, we are going to throw it to you guys. If you want to get in on this, put your hand up in the Zoom room and we will take your questions, comments, whatever you like. That is what we do here on the after party. But before we get to that, I see we do have a couple special guests here. One of them being Joe Aguinaldo, who was manning the Twitter tonight and seemed to be really motivated at the beginning of tonight's show. There is Joe. And then by the end of it, it was, guys, I'm kind of falling out of this. Okay, guys, I'm back in. Guys, I don't know what's happening here. I'm surprised you're still awake, Joe, because you seem to be fading away early tonight.
Yeah, you know, just I thought like kind of what you guys have said. I liked Roman and Rollins. You know, I thought Rollins' trolling game was just top notch today. The ending I could do without. Actually, like, the ending didn't bother me if this wasn't the Royal Rumble. If this was Elimination Chamber or Fastlane, cool. But this is supposed to be one of your biggest pay-per-views of the year. And I'll echo what Boris said. This is actually my favorite WWE pay-per-view of the year. Which it's gone over WrestleMania. And I found this Rumble to be meh. You know, as MJF would say, I thought this was pretty mid. I did like the Women's Rumble. I thought that was pretty good. Although I will admit one trope that I'm extremely tired of seeing is if you see someone trying to eliminate somebody, unless you're a tag partner or there's a storyline reason, why are you stopping that? Tamina did that like three or four times in the women's match. And I was like, what are you doing, Tamina? Stop doing that, Tamina. It just makes the wrong, like, just makes it look stupid. I liked Becky and Doudrop. I felt bad for them because of the whole fire thing, but I thought that match was better than expected. I completely zoned out for the mixed match. In fact, I think I ended up doing dishes at that time because we had a ton of dishes. Brock Lashley was great. I thought it was, you know, it's a Haas match, you know, but I wasn't a huge fan of the ending. And I think this is my problem. I didn't like the ending of a lot of the matches for a Royal Rumble. And I think when you do those kinds of endings on your big shows, it takes away from your big shows. Again, those were endings that I expected to see on an Elimination Chamber, a Fastlane, or, you know, from way back, Great Balls of Fire, like let's say a B pay-per-view. For an A pay-per-view, I kind of expect A finishes. And then the Men's Rumble, you know what? It was what it was. I'm not going to say it was horrible, but I thought it was pretty average at best.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying there. And I think what we got a lot of here, as much like we talked about earlier with the Charlotte and Lita thing, that's probably going to push on over to the Saudi pay-per-view. And I could see a rematch of Reigns and Rollins at that show as well. So you don't, you know, you kind of jump that pay-per-view. It's kind of a holdover. That's why we didn't get concrete finishes in this one. All right, along with Joe, we've also got the man that is going to be manning tomorrow's Sunday show. He will be chatting with Mr. Meltzer about this and whomever else he has lined up as guests. Mike McGuire is here as well. Now, Mike, I know you were doing double duty tonight. You were working, but you had the you were working a game, and along with that, you had your laptop up, and I think the game finished just in time for you to see the second Royal Rumble, so you really lucked out, pal.
Everything is coming up Saskatchewan tonight. That's all I can say. The Saskatchewan Rush had a great victory over Panther City, which, conveniently enough, are the nickname of a Fort Worth, Texas lacrosse team, in case you didn't know that. So kind of ties into the whole buildup for WrestleMania. And, of course, our boy Brock, Saskatchewan zone, he is on his way, finger pointing the whole time. You know, it's funny. I've been enjoying kind of sitting here in the background listening to your guys' feedback because, yeah, it was in my peripheral, and I'm actually going home to rewatch most of it now. But it was one of those things where I didn't know about the fire. I didn't know about I didn't know about a lot of stuff because, again, I kind of had this other job to do. But as I was hearing about, or as I was watching through my peripheral, anytime I catch a moment, like, things didn't look as bad to me as what I'm hearing now. And
I'm almost, the eternal optimist, though, Mike. I mean, you are the guy. You are sunny side up.
I am, but again, I also didn't have the diversion. I didn't hear a crowd get distracted. And that was the thing, having it with the sound off for a lot of it, like I see Ivory come out in the Women's Rumble, and I didn't even need to know what she was saying yet, and I was already popping. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, yes, right to censor Ivory. That's perfect. But I did get that vibe because, oddly enough, after the game ended, like you said, I got to jump in about a quarter of the way into the Men's Rumble match. And I was surprised to see that, A, I had already missed Johnny Knoxville come and go. I thought, if anything, they might hold that till later. But seeing what they did, I mean, obviously, you're going to have your heavy hitters at the end. But I think that there's a fair statement that was said earlier about flipping the Rumbles. Now, I know that doesn't work with the whole title match picture and everything, but having the Men's Rumble, the way it played out as your finale, yeah, it was just no good. I mean, let's face it, Ronda Rousey is the biggest star on that show tonight, 20-1. And when the rumors first started about her coming back, then it was, ooh, is this really going to happen? Because we've been faked out with this news before with Rumbles, but now she's back, and there's enough buzz around her coming out of that, that again, that sells your WrestleMania ticket. To me, that's your WrestleMania main event. The Brock thing did kind of fell flat, but again, we're the eternal optimists here. I can say that, you know, we are disappointed, I think, as hardcores, because you knew it was going one way or another. Either Brock was going to show up or Roman was going to show up if he didn't win. And so we knew, but for them, the plebs that were hoping will buy a $20 WrestleMania ticket, which is a crime, but we're hoping that they will show up and at least be interested to say, oh, I've heard of a couple of these people.
Again, though, you know, the goal of a match is, even if you know the finish, it can still be enjoyable. And for all those reasons that you mentioned there, Mike, I mean, with the Women's Royal Rumble, you just watching out of the corner of your eye, you're kind of like, oh, that's happening. Oh, that's happening. And, you know, you'll see it and you'll go. Generally, I think we all came to the consensus that the women's was put together really well. Flipping it around, you're right. Ronda is the biggest star, bar none. And on top of that, it is a return for Ronda Rousey. I mean, that's your headline coming out of this pay-per-view for all of the media, is that Ronda is back and it's her return. Now, the only thing I would say is perhaps by putting it earlier, it gets caught in more media and you get the headlines out there a little bit quicker. That's the only thing that maybe they tried to do. Finally, Mark Andrade is, of course, the Oz behind this production here. Mark, you watched tonight as well. Pop on. What did you think of tonight's show? Anything that we haven't crossed off your list?
Please call me the Dr. Oz.
Okay. You are the Dr. Oz of this broadcast. And listen, if you're a doctor, I've got many a question considering my current condition. So
yeah, I'm not that kind of doctor.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that really sticks in my craw for the whole night was that Kofi spot. Cause you know that there was more to it.
Yeah.
And I am so irritated by the WWE doing this thing where they like the count is a shoot. Like if they don't kick out at three, well, that's it. That's it, pal. Like, what? What are you talking about? What do you, why? Why is, like, you could have cut around that. Like, if you didn't show me the instant replay of Kofi's feet touching the ground, I wouldn't have known. Who was it? Who was it? Lex Luger and who was it who both came down? Hogan? Was it Hogan? No, it was Bret Hart. Bret Hart. Yeah, come down. Like, they didn't touch the floor at the same time. Give me a break. So what's the problem here? Kofi probably had something really great queued up, and we didn't get to see it. And he did tweet this, by the way. I'll put this up on my screen. Well,
it's better to try and fall than never to try at all. Someone said this. That's Kofi put that up?
Yeah. That's his tweet. That's Kofi's tweet from right after he got off screen or whatever.
I feel, though, Mark, like if they had just let that go and they had continued on with it, we'd all be here bitching about the fact that both of you, Boris is giving me the finger point here saying, you bet. Boris is all, you were writing your notes already, too, weren't you, Boris? Ready to complain if they kept going on. Yeah.
Oh, you know it. I already had it there. They screwed up, you know. Big letters,
you were ready to jump. So you'd rather Kofi just not do it at all. Like, that's it. So he screwed up. So fuck it. You're out. The whole thing's
done. Yeah, I would. Yeah, personally, that's how I am. It's, you know what? If the camera wasn't right there, right in front of you, they could have gotten away with it. But it was the focus. They focused on that. And then
they showed the replay. They shouldn't have done. That's what I'm saying. They shouldn't have shown the replay. What are you showing the replay for? You could have gotten away with it if you didn't show me the replay. Anyway, that's the thing. I also have a poll for the people watching on YouTube as I gesture towards YouTube. I put it in the chat. If you join our Patreon, you can join us in the actual Zoom where I am launching a poll right now where we find out what everybody's match of the night was. Match of the night. Please
match of the night, and we cannot vote. Mark has prevented that this time around. It's always fun to see what he's going to allow and what he's not going to allow. But go ahead and vote on that, and we'll have pretty much instantaneous results. Match of the night, you can only choose one here, and none of the above is an option. Thank you for putting that in there, Mark.
Yes, I did add none of the above. I also made this, so I don't know if this is anything.
You're so much better at Zoom than I am. I need to tell you that right now.
Oh, boy.
Flaming WrestleMania sign.
Flaming WrestleMania sign, yes. Someone was asking if you were going to do that tonight.
Well, I did. I did it.
All right. Do we got results?
I'm going to close this poll. Yeah, the poll is. I'm going to close it right now and share the results. Wow, look at this. I'm a little bit surprised. The Women's Rumble.
53%, followed by Reigns and Rollins at 27%, and no one picked the Men's Rumble. Why are you surprised at that? That would pretty much be the exact order that I would have put these in.
I think I would have put Reigns and Rollins a little closer. I think that would have been that might have edged out the Women's Rumble to me.
Oh wow!
Because the ending of that Rumble, I feel like that was sort of the story of the night too for me. That like I was enjoying these things, and then the ending was like, huh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There was some of that. I mean, I get it. They should have had more of a face off there, but I think it just does leave things up in the air, especially if they're heading towards Charlotte and Ronda singles match at Mania. And I really hope it's a singles match, because if it's a three way rematch, that is. I am out. I am tapping out of that. I am not interested. Let's do. Do we have hands up? Maybe hands up, Mark.
Oh, do we ever? Tom. Tom is on his way up right now. Tom, come on up, and do turn your camera on. Tom, you have to accept the invitation to turn your camera on.
And it is up to you. I mean, you guys can just talk to us audio wise. We'll be able to hear you. Just make sure you at least have your microphone on. If you want to pop your camera on as well, that is fine. We do encourage you to wear shirts. As the last time I did this, someone showed up without a shirt on. But hey, you do you.
It's a hot party. It's a hot party. Yeah, please. Yeah. I'm seeing Tony in the chat asking if he can turn his video on. Absolutely. Tom, you're up here. Turn your video on or unmute. Follow your heart, my friend, whatever you like.
And Tommy Lang says he's not the Tom in question. That other Tom is not taking the bait, he might have fallen asleep. It is late. WWE decided to send this by midnight Eastern tonight, and we are up at just after 1 a.m. now. But is that the window I'm looking at there, Mark? Is it up, or are we going to?
There he is. Speak of the devil.
It is.
And he shall appear. Hi, Tom. You're wearing
a shirt on this time.
Come on.
Oh, we can't hear you, Tom. You got to turn on your microphone.
There you go.
You're muted. We still can't hear you, Tom.
Two thumbs up.
We can't hear you. I want to hear what you have to say after this is a repeat. So we can't. So you gotta unmute yourself.
Tom. You're unmuted.
All right. I learned my lesson. Oh, boys. Sorry, guys.
Don't be sorry. We can hear you now. Oh, so what did you think of the show tonight?
Jason, I like your idea of Ronda Rousey and Charlotte, because I don't like Lita and Charlotte and Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch. I want somebody new, like maybe Liv Morgan, but I don't like the old people having all the matches. So that part I did not like at all.
Okay.
Right? I didn't like how Ronda Rousey won the match. I wish somebody else did. And obviously in the men's, we knew who was going to win. It was whoever was going to lose in the first match. So in the end, AEW still knows how to make stars and WWE does not know how to make stars.
You're not wrong, my friend. You're not wrong.
So I hope you guys have a great night. I hope WrestleMania is a lot better than this.
All right. Well, thank you very much for popping on, Tom. Appreciate it. Thank you for your thoughts. You know, I mean, that's something we can talk about over and over again. I mean, you look at the ages on the two card and where the stars are here. And even with someone like Ronda Rousey, who I believe she just had her birthday, actually. And I think her birthday is tomorrow or the next day, because I'm going to mention it in Sunday Morning Trivia tomorrow. She's turning 35, I think. So, I mean, the thing is, she's a celebrity and she's going to grab attention, but there's no young stars on the no up-and-comers that are really getting the attention and even being considered for a primary spot at Mania. And even if you look at the guys tonight that are fighting in the title pictures, I mean, everyone's getting mighty close to 40 or beyond. So good point there on Tom's part. All right, continuing on, what do we got next?
Oh, we have Tony from VA. Tony from VA, welcome.
Tony, first things first, before we get into this card tonight, I'd like to know which bourbon you chose. Yes, I figured with Tony and I, he's always sending me stuff about bourbons. So what is that tonight?
Russell 10-year tonight.
All right, Russell 10-year tonight. Okay, yeah. That's in your mid card, I guess.
Yes, that is my mid card. Yeah.
Okay,
I was not getting Angel's Envy for this.
What did you think of tonight's show?
It was pretty good. The first match obviously was my match. Some of the subtle things in that match, like at the end in the post match when Roman did that first set of chair shots, then the camera went tight on his face and he closed his eyes and gave like this sigh, like, finally, like, this is over now for me, like, I can let this go. Like, it was just the subtleties there that they showed on Roman's face. But Boris, you brought something up now, and I was thinking about this, like, the SmackDown side seems pretty set for Mania, right? We got Charlotte, either Charlotte leader, Charlotte and Ronda, and Reigns and Lesnar. But what's going on the Raw side? Like, who's going to be Becky, who's going to be for Lashley? Because I assume we're gonna have a chamber, but who's going to go in the chamber? Because to me, I mean, I would have, I mean, what, Drew? I came to that's the problem. Like, I can't even think on Raw side who they would put up against Lashley.
Do you go Big E there?
They did no favors for Big E tonight, in my opinion.
No, they really didn't. You're right. But I actually do think that Becky might be absorbed into that three-way thing. And don't forget the names that we didn't see tonight. We may have not seen for a reason, right? In the Women's Rumble, and that is Alexa, who was supposed to be in, or maybe she wasn't. Anyway, Alexa's on her road back. I don't think that that's a good idea because that's all going to be supernatural stuff. But Bayley and Oscar are the two that I think a lot of people are waiting for.
Well, and I mean, Bayley's got to come back as a heel. So heel versus heel. I don't like that with Becky and Bayley. But yeah, I don't know who else they can put up against them. And same with Lashley. There's not a matchup on the Raw side right now that intrigues me. I mean, I guess Big E and Lashley, but they gotta warm Big E back up again. I guess he can have a good showing in the chamber when they do that setup. But yeah, the Women's Rumble was the best for me. I think I had some preconceived ideas of who was going to maybe show up in the Men's Rumble, and so it really brought it down for me. But yeah, once Lesnar lost, it was pretty much, you knew what was going to happen there. So.
Who did you think was coming up in the Men's Rumble that you were hoping for?
Rumblings about maybe like crazy rumblings, like Wyatt maybe coming back, or maybe somebody from like Impact, like a male from Impact maybe showing up, right? Because they did Mickey James, and I just thought, but it was just anticlimactic. Even if maybe like Lesnar had attacked somebody on the way down, like number 30 comes down and Lesnar attacks him, and then he comes in pissed off and just destroys everybody.
Yeah, he just
came in kind of happy and looked refreshed and just got in and did his thing and it was done. It was like,
I agree with you on that. Number 30, you figured that I actually thought, I put it up in the group, I thought it was going to be Rey Mysterio and Lesnar was going to come out and destroy Mysterio and then pop into the ring. But having someone come out as the sacrificial lamb in order for Lesnar to take out while he's walking to the ring would make all the sense in the world, because how did he get in there? You know what I mean? They just leave that position open. There was no rhyme or reason to that. But as far as the, thanks, Tony. Anything else before you go?
Oh, appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Great. So Tony's bringing up the Raw side of things. Let me throw this to you, Boris and or Matt. I mean, looking at the Lashley with the title now, where does Lashley sit for WrestleMania, Boris?
Here's the thing. Big E officially now on the SmackDown roster. I saw that on Twitter earlier today, so I don't know how that happened. Sure, why not? But now that leaves a huge gap on the Raw side, so I have no idea who they plan on putting him up against. Like, at this point, I'm honestly thinking of the Raw roster, and is it Randy Orton? Is it Riddle? Like, are we going to get something completely random and weird and different? My God, we might actually get a fresh matchup. Who would have thought?
I wouldn't call. Yeah, I don't know if I'd call either one of those fresh. Those don't excite me. Is there anything you can do with Lashley, Matt, that excites you for Mania?
Lashley Riddle isn't the worst thing I've ever heard, but yeah, it's a tough one. Lashley Lesnar, I think, was the thing, and they just did it. They did it tonight. So yeah, I think Lashley's big money match has just kind of expired. So maybe there's money with Drew, because Lashley and Drew do have good chemistry. They could have a really good match, but it's a tough sell.
How many times have we seen that?
That's the problem.
That's
another problem.
Someone's throwing out Rollins and Lashley as your go there. Maybe, once Rollins gets done. I mean, Rollins will be, I mean, if they run with what they've done tonight, he should be a babyface. So there's that. That doesn't excite me either, though. But I think it's a bit of a tough go. All right. Paul says, God, no more Drew versus Lashley. I am on your side, Paul. I completely agree. It's too much of that. Where can we go to next, Mark? We got more hands up.
Yeah, we got Chris Gaskin. If you want to turn your video on or just start talking, your choice.
I'm okay without the video. I thought we were doing a no shirt party, and I was too lazy to put one on. So
please turn your video on. I want a no shirt party every time.
I don't even have my camera set up. I'm coming in with the joke, and then and then Tom came in the clutch there, saying everything that I was thinking anyways. I'll be honest. I really enjoyed the Women's Rumble. Mm-hmm. I thought it was I thought the way that it was paced out was great. I loved the Nikki Ash Mighty Molly spot. I laughed out loud hard. Also, I like the use of Ivory, because how else do you let a 60-year-old woman get in there and eliminate her in a way that's not going to murder her? You know, there's a lot of good that was in that match. The opener, I enjoyed the finish, because I come from the thought process of the heel should be a heel. And hey, if you're going to choke someone out and get yourself disqualified so you can hold on to that belt, man, do it. They don't do it enough. You know, the men's rumble. But I really have a problem with Lesnar winning it, because I think within that Lashley-Lesnar match, you told the story of where they were going. I don't think it was necessary. Lesnar's not even a Raw or SmackDown guy. He's a free agent. I mean, it was just so you could have him pointing at the sign. You could have had anyone else to take the Raw side of it. And I really think they have no idea what they're doing with the Raw side. I am convinced that we're going to see Becky and Ronda, not Charlotte and Ronda. But either way, I'll look forward to either one of those matches. All in all, I thought it was an okay show. You know, it wasn't bad, but it, you know, it wasn't great. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was the ski slope. I will say, I mean, I'm also okay with Ronda or Becky, one of the two, just not both.
Yeah,
both,
oh God,
for
no,
sure,
not both.
Ruins it for me. We've seen it once and it doesn't do it for me. I don't want to see it again.
There was a spot in that men's rumble where I laughed, which was the Chad Gable entrance when he was mentioning having a plan and then just got Damian Priest to go after Omos. And then when they all eliminated him, you could hear Chad yelling, "My master plan." Yeah, and yeah, I popped for that really hard.
I was surprised at the Damian Priest thing, though, considering that's a guy that's pretty well protected, and they just kind of threw him to the wolves tonight and just had to almost take him out.
But I mean, that character's been going in, let's say, interesting ways over the past few weeks, so it didn't shock me that much. You know, it's, man, Tom is right. They don't know how to build stars, or I think it's more their... It's not that they don't know how to build stars. It's that they're stubborn in the stars that they create and the stars that they want to create. And they want to stick with that no matter what the crowd wants. And I think it's problematic for your long-term booking.
Well, they know better than what the crowd wants. That's WWE's policy. Thank you, Gaskin.
Out of here.
Right. I know we got Paul, who's on the line. It's like 6:30 a.m. where he is. He's decided to stay up and hasn't dozed off as of yet. I believe we're going there next, right, Mark?
It's true. The rumors are true. Paul is up next. Whenever you're ready, Paul, you can unmute.
Hey, are we good?
We're good. We can hear you, Paul. Go for it.
I'm shattered, man. I'm absolutely shattered. It's been a good night. I was at a pub with like a big viewing party, and I was quite surprised. I'm a bit drunk. Seth Rollins is God. He was hilarious. What was I gonna say? That Miz and Edge and the wives, that was crap. I nearly fell asleep during that. Question, what's the language? What's the language barriers thing? Are we allowed to swear?
I think that we're okay. We're not on the radio, so you can let us have it if you want.
That match was shit. It was so terrible.
Wild, yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad for Becky and Doudrop. They did all right, but they just got put in a bad spot. I don't want to see Ronda versus Charlotte. I don't want... It does not interest it. I am more interested in Ronda versus Becky, because they've never had that one-on-one match with all that history. Obviously, they got put in the triple threat match because what Charlotte wants, Charlotte gets. Right. Right, I'm going to go because I'm tired.
Paul, thank you for staying up. Go get some sleep. Just put on the mixed tag match again and put yourself to sleep. There we go, right there.
Cheers, Paul's Yorkie.
Up late. He was at a party. I saw him posting that. He was at a viewing party tonight to watch the Rumble, which is always part of the fun. You're just leaving him here too, aren't you, Mark? All right, let him go, Mark. Put their next patron on.
Oh, up next is Dave. We're bringing up Dave. David Martin is coming up next.
Dave Martin is popping on up. What's happening here? Okay. Now I just see, if you can see this, like Paul on the screen at the same time as Matt, man, they looked... They got a similar look going on for them, huh?
Handsome devils, you know? It's not bad.
Boy. People are missing out if they're not watching this live. I was like, oh, I'm seeing double there.
You can do some twin magic, tag in and out of this podcast.
There you go. All right, Dave Martin is his camera's on. He is up. He's taking off the glasses. He's rubbing his eyes. He's still awake. And Dave?
Yeah, I don't know if I should say this on the show, but I can't, when it comes to staying awake, I can't say that your co-host, Dan Laransky, made it through the entire Rumble while I was there. There was a little bit of nap time going on, and I understand that. But my biggest issue was that they never actually said who won the Seth Rollins-Roman Reigns fight match. They never actually announced it in the arena. It's just like the referee called for the DQ, but they never had that sort of pop of, you know, your champion is still Roman Reigns, but Seth Rollins won. There was never any of that. I enjoyed the Doudrop, but there's some deeper issues there. I enjoyed the Doudrop and Becky match, and I thought Ronda was way too much kick and punch for the women's Rumble. And just Shayna Baszler was doing these like power moves that like are so much more impressive to see, especially, I mean, I know that Ronda's like, she's just coming back. She's so that was one of my sort of boring issues, but I thought it was an all right show for what it was. You know, we still don't know who Brock is going to take on at the, if it's going to be, you know, Roman or Bobby Lashley, you know, or I was hoping that Walter or Gunther would show up at some point, but that never happened. But overall, I enjoyed.
Gunther would have been something fresh, but I guess they're just going to leave him on NXT for a while before debuting them. But listen, yeah, if they wanted something fresh and you had him, just imagine if it went a different direction here and for some reason you had him win tonight and go after Lashley, all of a sudden you've got that big opponent for that first night, and then you know we're getting Reigns and Lesnar. They just have to find a way to get there, and I'm sure that they could figure that out somehow because that storyline is so plentiful with Heyman being involved. Like, Heyman could make him sign a contract saying, you know, one of those whole things, if you don't win, you can never compete again, blah, 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 and have it work against them and then end up ripping off the big dumb guy. Like, it could have worked. So you're right, Dave. And I think a few people have echoed that tonight where they could have utilized the Rumble to set up the Raw opponent as opposed to wasting it on the Reigns and Lesnar thing.
I just wish there were sort of more feuds built out of both the men's and women's Rumble. It's like people can get eliminated, but then you can always have that moment where they run into each other again backstage or blah, blah, blah. It's just, there are all these little, I mean, we know it's a work, but we want to believe it's a shoot. And it's like AEW always has that like time limits, weights, where people are from, and the fact that like we're going to announce who wins and loses. Just that one thing off the top like really got underneath my skin. But like not announcing who won, whether it was Roman or Seth Rollins.
I actually thought, you know, you mentioned the bits and pieces that they can create from within the Rumbles. And I did see that tonight in the Women's Rumble because, like, I have questions. Like, are Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan going to get together and have a match versus the Bellas? Right. Probably not, but they did set that up. Along with that, you know what else? They set up Mighty Molly and Nikki A.S.H. tonight as well. Are we going to see that? Probably not. So they did a great job of setting things up in that Rumble. I just don't think that we're going to see any follow-through, unfortunately.
Yeah. But, you know, I stayed awake for the whole thing. That's an achievement.
Well done. Well done with a snoring Lavransky beside you.
He does not snore. He does not snore. It was a kind of sliding in and out, but maybe he had a hard day working being the working man that he is.
Yeah. Okay. So, Lavransky, Dave watched with Lavransky tonight. So yes, he was apparently sleeping partway through, not necessarily snoring though. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Good night, fellas.
Good night. Where are we at, Mark?
We got J-Dub. J-Dub, come on up. J-Dub, you got to accept that invitation that I sent you. Accept the invitation and then unmute or turn on your camera or both. You could do both. I'm not stopping you.
It is completely up to you. But as long as we can hear your voice, we will be good to go. Throw out your question, comment about what happened on tonight's Rumble. If you got something that we haven't heard yet, that's even more ideal to stray us off into that direction, because we are kind of going over a lot of the same stuff over and over again. What do you got, J-Dub?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hey, Jason, it's James Weaver from Dallas, not James Weaver from Atlanta.
Oh, okay, cool. Yes, one of our James Weavers. All right, good stuff.
You got a couple of Weavers, but man, the first hour of this pay-per-view was fun. And the last 2-3 hours were just like dragging through everything, you know. So, but the first 3 minutes, I just was wondering, how we stay awake. You know, are we excited about where we're going to the Royal, to WrestleMania, and thanks again for. By the way, before I do anything else, I wanted to say, Jason, thank you for everything you do for our community. You've done amazing. I know you've taken a little bit of a step back to, have a little bit of a home life and everything, and the other guys, so much and everything. I appreciate all they've done. So just thank you for everything you've done, man. I appreciate it, brother.
James, thank you very much for following along. Appreciate it. Yeah, I am kind of taking a step back just because, I'm journalisming 5 days a week, throwing the trivia in one day a week. And even I will be up and on the air broadcasting from my COVID studio in 7.5 hours from now. So, yeah, a little time to sleep. No problem. The trivia is sitting right beside me here. So I'll be doing that. But so, James, you were asking, though, aside from that, you were asking if we're excited about the WrestleMania direction. That was your primary question.
Yes and no. No apologies. Jason, one thing I just want to say is I know in Dallas, I could actually get there. I heard I'm in Dallas, Texas. I can get there. I heard for your Sunday morning trivia show on Sundays, and I love to listen to it. So please keep doing that and everything. Super excited about that. I know you got to get up early in the morning for that. But the morning, the direction, and that's number one. Number two is just, where do you think? Is this Brock versus Roman? Where do you think the whole resume goes? So cheers. Thanks so much for all you do. Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it. Yeah, and for all of you out there that are patrons as well, the trivia show pops up every Monday afternoon. I pop up the trivia show for a little bit of content outside the world of wrestling. If you're a patron, you get that, and you get Dan the Mouth of Lavransky stays awake long enough to put together a music show every week as well. Sleeping Dan the Sleep Lavransky is what we're going with here. So are we happy with the direction, I believe, is what James was asking there. I mean, the Roman and Brock thing to me, guys, is solid, but I think, Matt, we've thrown a whole bunch of questions out about what's happening on the Raw side.
So, yeah, I think we've kind of missed the, I don't want to say obvious, but I think it's going to be Becky versus Bianca pretty clearly. And Bianca's going to avenge that big, quote unquote, embarrassing loss. She's going to get another huge WrestleMania win. And I think that's where they go on the Raw side. Bianca beats Becky. Perhaps they throw Sasha or Bayley or something in. I think actually what they should do is just put Sasha against Bayley again at WrestleMania. I don't know. But yeah, I would leave Becky and Bianca alone. I think that's your Raw women's main event. And Bianca goes over clean, hopefully.
That's you're absolutely right. We completely lost sight of that, and that should be the match. Should be the match. I'm not saying it's going to be, but you're right. That should be the match, and should be avenging last year. That's a perfect storyline to play out. And then I think, Boris, that accomplishes on the other side exactly what WWE wants, and that is the headline of Flair and Rousey, the two prominent names that the media is going to recognize to toss out there as your main event for night one.
That's exactly it. To me, that makes the most sense. Like, you want the most attention. It's a two-nighted card. You want all the attention that you can get. It is stupendous, right? So gotta get something that the media is really going to fall in love with. Because like I said, WWE is all about the headlines. And I think, you know, we might have a clear side on the women's side. But look, we also have names like we mentioned, like Asuka, Lacey Evans, remember her? Alexa Bliss. Like, these are people who can come and do something over the next few weeks. So I still think that, you know, as Bianca and Becky make the most sense, you just really never know exactly what direction they're going to go in. On the men's side, though, like we said, it's who knows. I think that it's a lock for Roman and Brock. I think, you know, we can pretty much just write that down, get our bets in now, and go forward with that. But on the men's side, you know, is it going to be Seth? Are they just going to drop the entire Rollins-Seth story? Is Rollins just going to start, you know, putting his attention on Lashley? Or is it going to be Drew Lashley again? Is there going to be someone like a Riddle coming up? Like, there's still, you know, and it kind of intrigues me to a certain extent because we do have the Elimination Chamber coming up in 3 weeks. So we'll see exactly what happens there. But one thing that disappointed me is the fact that, like, we kind of talked about on the women's side, they kind of set a few things up in the Rumble. On the men's side, it was just so straightforward. Let's get to number 30, which is Lesnar, and nothing was set up. So I don't even know who could participate in the Elimination Chamber at this point.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to follow that along. We know we got Rousey on Monday. Before we get out of here, though, as we tiptoe near to the 2 a.m. mark is coming on up, Matt, you have volunteered and have come up with a new idea with Turnbuckle Trivia, and me and Turnbuckle Trivia taking a bit of a step back off Sundays. We are giving the patrons something brand spanking new, and it is the last patron standing competition that we will be starting. Ooh, there's our little graphic. Yes. This is delightful. So last patron standing is what we are doing, and it is a pool type of scenario that you have come up with because you are definitely a sports guy, and I have seen this done, primarily a football thing, right?
Yeah, I'm a big sports nerd, yeah, and it's just been rattling around my brain for years. I've wanted to do it in wrestling, so I think we're going to give it the old college try, see how it goes. And, you know, hopefully it goes well. But yeah, it's basically, if you're familiar with the NFL Survivor Pool concept, it's an NFL Survivor Pool with a pro wrestling spin. So rather than every week you have to pick a winner, what happens is at every live premium event or AEW pay-per-view, you have to select one winner on the entire card. Now, obviously, pro wrestling, there's a lot of chicanery. There could be countouts, disqualifications, you know, all those things. So whoever is announced the winner, and we do run into some issues such as the first match of the Royal Rumble today. We like, there was no announced winner, although we know that technically Seth Rollins was the winner of that match, though Roman Reigns retained the title, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the announced winner, that's very, very key. But all you have to do is pick one winner at every show. And if your winner wins, you go on to the next show and you survive. And it's just keep on. You just got to keep on going throughout the year. We're going to do it at every live event and AEW pay-per-view. And another big wrinkle is that you can't use people twice. You can't select wrestlers twice. And that goes for tag teams as well. So if you select, let's say, RK-Bro to win in February, they do win. You can't use Matt Riddle or Randy Orton again for the rest of the game. So you kind of get the you kind of understand. So it's a strategical game. You pick just one winner. That's all you got to do. And hopefully it works. We'll see if it works. It's a ton of fun in football. A lot of people, you know, play these pools. A lot of people spend a lot of money on them. So we're going to try it. It's a game of skill. It's not gambling, Jason. It's really.
Yes, that's it. It's not gambling. It's a game. Well, it's going to replace the Turnbuckle Trivia level for our patrons as well. So if you are at the Turnbuckle Trivia level, it's actually now called, if you look at your Patreon, it is called the Last Patron Standing level. So that or above, you'll be getting a note from us. And then I think we're segueing back to picks are going to be done via email. Is that how you're doing it, Matt? You're taking care of all that? Okay.
I'm not going to kick picks out, but like, please, we'll have a central email. Please just email them to me. It will be the best. And yeah, the first show will be Elimination Chamber live from Saudi Arabia.
So, and there'll be deadlines put in place. So anyhow, so that is all going to be coming at you very shortly in a good amount of time before the Elimination Chamber. Matt's going to be taking care of that. And then we'll be posting updates on that as well. And we do have prizes. I mean, listen, I'm the trivia guy. I know we do. Our friends at Baller Gear, we have rerouted the Turnbuckle Trivia annual hoodie. It will now be a prize for this and that logo that you are seeing on your screen, or you can see on the Patreon, you can see on the Facebook page as well. That logo will be, I believe, on the back of the hoodie, or on the front. We're going to put it somewhere on the hoodie. So we're going to get you a hoodie. I got the Drew McIntyre book we can send out as well, and maybe a couple other things. So that is going to be what we are doing. I can see Tony from Virginia, who's a big football fan apparently, and knew exactly what this was. He is stoked to play this game. So that is exactly what we are going to be doing with the last patron standing. And Mark has his finger in the air.
I can pitch in as well for prizes. I've got a bag next to me here
I don't
1,000 cats balloons, so you can't have all of them because I need them, but you can have I'll take a handful and pitch that in. 1,000 cats balloons from the musical Cats.
What? Why do you have this? You know what? It's right on brand. Never mind. That wraps up what we are doing here tonight. Hey, thank you all for making it on through. Hope you guys enjoyed the Rumble after party. There will be an after party for Elimination Chamber, which will be next, right, Boris?
Actually, we're actually planning to do a podcast for Elimination Chamber because it's in the afternoon.
So
we're going to gauge the crowd a little bit, but most likely we're going to do a podcast, and the Smack Daddies have been voluntold to do that one. And then the next after party will most likely be for AEW.
Gotcha. All right. Well, there we go. So we'll still be doing the after parties. And tomorrow, of course, Mike McGuire will have you all set up with Sunday night's main event, or for you patrons, Sunday afternoon's main event, which we will have posted up there as well. So we are signing off tonight as we are in the wee hours of the morning. But thanks to you all for joining us live. Thanks to you all for joining us on the Patreon. And if you're a freeloader and you're hearing this, well, then you should sign on up and get on in on the last patron standing pool. Do it right now. It's patreon.com/snmeradio. Thank you, gents. We're out of here.
Thanks, everyone.